For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Tailgate Tome. If you love college sports and you like to have a little action on the games, then this is the place for you, because I'm your host, Stephen Gorgie, and I love both of those things too. What a 4 days of college basketball it was. There are a few upsets in there. There was a lot of chalk this weekend. There were some great games, and maybe most importantly, we're going to have another great weekend coming up. I love how this weekend turned out as far as the matchups we have for the Sweet 16, some of those potential Elite Eight matchups that we could have. Don't want to get there yet. I want to spend today reacting to a fantastic opening weekend of March Madness. So let's get right into this thing. But first, a reminder, you can follow me across all social media platforms at the same handle, at Gorg on Sports. If you were following me there for my March Madness picks, I had a weekend where it basically might as well not have happened. I finished just about even. I was up 0.05 units. And on a March Madness weekend, sometimes that can be a win. I had some good picks. Gonzaga -5.5 was one of my first bets that I put in last Sunday, on Selection Sunday, rather. That was a very good pick. That cashed easily. Nebraska moneyline against the A&M, not such a good pick. So it was an up and down weekend overall, but you live to fight another day. And that is important in March Madness, because we have another huge slate of games coming up starting next Thursday. So today, what I want to do is I want to react to the weekend that was. I want to go through the remaining teams and kind of categorize them, use that to talk about the weekend that was. Then later this week, I will be back to preview all of the Sweet 16 matchups and look ahead to the next round. That's when I will release all of my Sweet 16 picks, how I'm playing those games, any futures that I'm going to put in looking forward. So no picks today. Today is going to be strictly reaction, and then I will get to all of the picks and all of the previews later in this week ahead of the Sweet 16. So let's dive right into it. In category number one, I have as untested top seeds. So UConn and Purdue, they stood out to me as the two top seeds that were never challenged, never tested, and that's exactly how it should be. I view these two teams coming out of the weekend as the teams that did exactly what they were supposed to do. UConn wins two games by massive margins. They beat Stetson 91-52. They beat Northwestern 71-58. And now Danny Hurley and UConn have won 8 straight NCAA tournament games by double digits, dating back to their national championship run last season. It's amazing what a difference a year makes. Because as we entered last year's NCAA tournament, Danny Hurley had a bit of a reputation at UConn as someone who couldn't win in the tournament because he hadn't yet. Danny Hurley had lost in back-to-back first rounds, and he was getting a little bit of a reputation. That's long gone. UConn is a budding dynasty. 8 straight double-digit NCAA tournament wins. What a weekend for the Huskies. They march on, and they are looking every bit of the number one overall seed that they were given. The other team who got big-time redemption for their loss to Fairleigh Dickinson a season ago is Purdue. They beat Grambling 78-50, and they demolished Utah State 106-57. And in that Utah State game, at one point in the first half, Zach Edey had 18 points, 11 boards in the first half. And that's just what Zach Edey does. He does it night in and night out. He's done it so far in this tournament. And this Purdue team has gotten a little revenge for that big upset last year. They have moved past that. Clearly, they are not that team, and they are poised to move into the second weekend feeling really good about themselves. In that Utah State game, the thing that was most impressive to me was not Edey, because that's just what he does night in and night out. Utah State got off to a very good start in that game. Ian Martinez, one of their guards, came out really hot. He hit a couple threes, and Utah State was up early in this game. But it didn't faze Purdue at all, and they just kept chopping. They got great contributions across the board. Fletcher Lawyer, 15 points. Zach Edey ended up with 23. Trey Kaufman, Wren, 18. Cam Heidi comes off the bench for 10. Miles Colvin comes off the bench for 9. They got it across the board. Lance Jones had 9. A really nice, even scoring performance from this Boilermakers team. And anytime you put up 100-plus in the NCAA tournament, that's a big deal. Bravo to UConn. Bravo to Purdue, because they came out and they handled business exactly like top seeds should. Now, I'm also going to put North Carolina in this category with them. North Carolina did not have quite the eye-popping scores, the eye-popping blowouts that these two teams had. They did beat Wagner 90-62 in the first round, but then in the second round, they had a tough matchup against a Michigan State team that looked good, bad, mediocre, great in the regular season. They always come to play in March. They pick up a first-round win over Mississippi State, a Mississippi State team that a lot of people picked to beat them and give Carolina a test. Michigan State was the one who got the job done. They went to face North Carolina in the second round, and they got off to a very good start against the Tar Heels. But the reason I'm really going to put Carolina in this untested category is because once they were able to regain the lead, it never felt like the outcome was in doubt for Carolina. Again, like Purdue, the thing that stuck out to me about Carolina in this game was the evenly distributed scoring. Harrison Ingram, 17 points. RJ Davis, 20 points. Armando Bacot, 18 points. Cormac Ryan, 14 points. Jalen Withers, 16 points. I'm sorry, misread that. Jalen Withers had 4 points there. But they had 4 guys in double figures in this game. And that's what I think makes North Carolina so dangerous, is they have options. They had everybody going today. But if there is a day where RJ Davis is getting shut down from the outside, they can rely on Armando Bacot inside. If Bacot's getting double teamed, he can find those guards and they can be the ones doing the scoring. I really like the versatility of North Carolina. I don't want to put them in that untested category because I didn't think they really were tested against Michigan State in that game outside of the first, 10, 12 minutes or so of it. All right, let's move on to our next category here. And I'm calling it, they look dominant, maybe they have a chance to win it all. So a team that came into this tournament that I was not super high on, despite the fact that they had won the Big Ten tournament the weekend before, that they had been playing really well, was the Illinois Fighting Illini. I did not trust their track record in the tournament. I thought they've had a lot of shaky performances in years past, whether it be in 2021 when they were a number one seed, they lost to Loyola Chicago in the second round, and that was a really good Illinois team with Io DeSumo and Kofi Coburn on that team. That was a really good Illinois team. that went down to Loyola Chicago. They've had other upsets in the past. Just last year, it wasn't really an upset. It was an 8-9 game, but Arkansas beat them, and it was a 10-point win, but a game that never really felt close. So I was a little skeptical of Brad Underwood and the Fighting Illini. Maybe I just bought into the narrative a little too much here, because I had Morehead State, plus 13 in the opening game against the Illini, and Illinois ends up winning that game by 16, but at points, it was much, much more, and they showed just how they're able to get up and down the court. They're led by Terrence Shannon. He has been great. He's had, ever since he was reinstated to this team, he has been really, really good for them, and he continued to play very well in the tournament over the weekend. He had 26 points against Morehead State. He had 30 points against Duquesne. My question about Illinois is still their defense, and I feel like they weren't really... Look, they got a little bracket luck, because rather than playing BYU, the sixth seed, they got Duquesne in the second round, who they demolished 89-63. So they beat a 14 seed and an 11 seed. But I got to say, I got to admit, they looked very good while doing so, at least offensively. They were super efficient in those games. They got up and down the court like they always do. And Illinois is a team that has me thinking, maybe they are a little better than I thought. Maybe they have a chance to get to the Final Four. They will play Iowa State, the 2 seed in that bracket, in that East region, in the Sweet 16. The next team on this list is similar, and it's the Duke Blue Devils. They were a 4 seed. They came into the tournament, good but not great. And the thing about Duke is that for a lot of people, myself included, the lasting memories of their season will be the 2 North Carolina games that they played and that NC State loss in the ACC tournament, and that didn't leave a good feeling about them going into the NCAA tournament. Now, they take care of business against Vermont in round one. They get a 64-47 win. And then, like Illinois, they get a little bit of bracket luck where JMU goes out and beats Wisconsin. And maybe it wasn't even bracket luck, because James Madison just looked like the better team in that game against Wisconsin. But either way, Duke ends up playing a couple of lower-seeded teams. They could have got the 5 seed in Wisconsin. Instead, they get a 12 seed in JMU. And what they did against JMU was nothing short of a demolition. Duke looked fantastic in that game. Y'all know I love BartTorvik.com. I'm looking at just the BartTorvik stats for teams in the NCAA tournament over the course of these 2 NCAA tournament games, or 1 game for some teams. And Duke is right behind UConn in those Torvik rankings. If you filter just for these NCAA tournament games, they were fantastic. They shot 43.5% from beyond the arc in those 2 games, and Duke looked really, really good. Now, of course, the question for Duke is, they played a 12 seed and they played a 13 seed. Now they have to play Houston, and that's going to be a little bit of a ball game. And the last team in the look dominant, maybe they have a chance category, is Arizona, a 3rd team that I personally was skeptical about coming into the tournament. I put a bet on Dayton, the 7th seed in that region, at plus 750 to make it to the Sweet 16. I still like those odds. I thought they were good odds. But Arizona took care of business against Dayton. Arizona did what they haven't been able to do the past couple of years, which is take care of business. It's also something they hadn't been able to do much of in the regular season. I shouldn't say haven't been able to do much of, but it bit them at times. At times, they did not show up when they needed to show up in the regular season, and that's something that has always kind of made me skeptical about the Wildcats. And even in this NCAA tournament, they didn't get off to the best start. They were down against Long Beach State early. Long Beach State, of course, has the very bizarre story with Dan Munson, their head coach, being fired before the conference tournament. They go on a run. They end up winning the conference tournament, making it to the NCAA tournament, and they draw Arizona in the first round. And in the first round against Arizona, they get off to a very nice, very hot start. And it's like, okay, everybody around the country is going up. Here we go again. Another year where Arizona comes in super hyped and they blow it. I mean, with just a couple minutes left in the first half, Long Beach had a lead. They had a 35-34 lead in the second, late in the first half. Arizona is able to take a 41-35 lead at halftime, and they outscore Long Beach State by 14 in the second half. And then I was very impressed with their win against Dayton in round two. Dayton is a team that I like a lot. I love their big man, Daron Holmes. He had a good game against them, but they were able to come away with a 78-68 win against the Dayton Flyers, and they take care of business as they move on to the Sweet 16. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention Caleb Love and the impact he's had on this team, because he's been very, very good for the Wildcats this year. He had 19 points against Dayton, 19 points, 5 assists against Dayton, 18 points, 5 assists, 11 boards against Long Beach State. So Arizona is now another team where I'm thinking, okay, they took care of business. Maybe they're better than I thought. Maybe they have a chance. This is a team that the metrics, the analytics have loved all year long. I just haven't loved their inconsistency. But if they can find it for 6 games, they certainly do have a chance. They have me thinking about that a little bit. Now I get to a group of 5 teams that I'm calling the tested top 3 seeds. And the first one in this list is our last number 1 seed, Houston. And Houston played maybe the game of the tournament on Sunday night against Texas A&M. And I'm not going to lie to y'all. I went to bed when Houston was up 12. It had been a long weekend of basketball. I was tired. I was up late every night. I was up early every day. I was, you know, just like you all, it's a grind. It's a grind. It's the best grind, but it is a grind. And I was tired. And I was like, all right, Houston's got this one done. This is over. San Diego State's up big on Yale. I don't have to worry about these games. I'm going to bed. I marked my Wade Taylor over 17.5 points bet as a loss. He wasn't quite getting there. I'm like, okay, I'm going to mark it as a loss. Go to bed. Houston's going to move on. I wake up in the morning, and I see that the internet was going crazy about this game because Texas A&M erased a deficit, a 12-point deficit, with under 2 minutes to go to send this one to overtime in one of the wildest games of the weekend. And Houston somehow, someway, recovers from that, still picks up the victory. They had a bunch of their guys foul out, and they are able to find a way to get the win. I gotta give it, I'm torn on this because it's like, okay, Houston, if they just took care of business, if they had held that 12-point lead, I would have put all 4 of those number 1 seeds in that category, in that first category, the untested top seeds. I would have said, hey, UConn and Purdue, they had a little bit bigger margins in their wins. But you know what? I think North Carolina and Houston played better opponents in the second round. Well, Northwestern is as good as Michigan State to me. But hey, look, you got the Izzo factor there. I would have said all 4 number 1 seeds did what they were supposed to do. So I'm torn because Houston, I was about to put them there. They blow this lead. They looked like they had trouble handling the pressure from A&M at the end of the game. And that was definitely concerning. But then you also have to give them credit because they somehow got up off the mat and made plays in overtime, even missing big time players on their team, and they get the win. And Jamal Shedd, to me, this is Jamal Shedd. It comes down to Jamal Shedd. He is the leader of that team. He is the heartbeat of that team. He is one of the best players in the country. He's one of the best point guards in the country, and he led that team. He hit big shots in overtime, and he did not let them fall. I actually think this serves as a boon to Houston going forward. Look, there's some things they got to clean up. I really didn't like how they handled that pressure at the end of the game, but there was also some wild things happening. Balls were slipping through fingertips. Balls were bouncing in bizarre ways. And it's not what you want, but what you do want is Emmanuel Sharpe going 7 of 14 from 3, going for 30 points. Their three guards, Emmanuel Sharpe, LJ Cryer, Jamal Shedd, combined for 71 points in this game. And the thing I've always been critical about with Houston over the years, as somebody who's actually bet on them a lot and picked them a lot, is that the three-point shooting falls short when you need it most. Now, they didn't hit an outstanding percentage tonight, or Sunday night. They were just over 32%, but they did make 11. And I think they have these guards that, with Sharp and Cryer certainly, that are better three-point shooters than they had in the past. And Jamal Shedd, he's just that heartbeat. He's just that leader. He's the guy you need to say, hey, times are tough. Get on my back. I'm going to find a way. I'm going to find a way to get this done. So I'm torn on Houston because you don't like some of what you saw, but you also have to love the way they responded. Texas A&M, a very good offensive rebounding team, one of the few teams that is as good on the offensive glass as Houston is. And I think that's something, you know, you're not going to see a lot of other teams be able to do what A&M did, where they grabbed 26 boards in this one. Houston survives, they move on, and so they are going in my tested top three seeds category. The next team here is Tennessee, the two seed. They were tested a bit by Rick Barnes' former employer, the Texas Longhorns, in the second round. That was the storyline that everybody was watching for. Tennessee escapes that one with a 62-58 win. And much like Houston, to me, it's in the tournament, it is always, always survive and advance. So I'm never going to knock somebody for getting a win, especially against a team that is as talented as Texas is. That combo of Max Asemus and Dylan Dessou, it just leaves you wanting more because there is so much talent on that team. There'll be time, plenty of time to talk about Texas. I don't want to talk about them much today because they are out of the tournament. I want to focus on the winners. I want to the victors go the spoils. But this Texas team, it should have been better than a 7 seed. I think that there was some, they left some potential on the table, but Tennessee does find a way to get the win in this one. Dalton Knecht goes for 18 points, just 1 of 8 from beyond the arc. And Tennessee's three-point shooting, poor three-point shooting, which we've seen at times over the years in the tournament, reared its ugly head a little bit. They've been a much better, they've been a better three-point shooting team this year, at least a slightly better three-point shooting team this year. And they'll have times where, you know, guys like Knecht, who's almost a 40% three-point shooter, will go off. But in this game, they were just 3 of 25 from beyond the arc. I think this is one where Tennessee will take it and say, okay, we got the win, let's move on, and let's figure it out going forward. Tennessee will take on Creighton in the Sweet 16, and Creighton is my next team on this list as far as tested top three seeds, because Creighton head coach, Oregon head coach Dana Altman went up against his former employer, Creighton, in the second round on over the weekend, and Greg McDermott, current Creighton head coach, was able to get the overtime win over the Oregon Ducks in double overtime. This is a game that finished 86-73 in double overtime. There was not a lot of scoring in regulation in this one, and it's kind of nice to actually see Creighton get a win when they're not scoring. And Folly Dante has just been an absolute beast for Oregon, the former five-star center over the past couple of weeks. He went off for 28 in this one. It wasn't enough. Jermaine Cousinard also goes for 32 as they really carried the load for Oregon. It wasn't enough. And again, I've mentioned this with a bunch of teams, but Creighton has so many threats. In this game, four guys in double figures. It wasn't their best scoring night by any mean, but Bailey Shireman, Trey Alexander, Ryan Kalkbrenner, Steven Ashworth, they have options, and that's something that I think makes Creighton dangerous going forward. I'll finish up this category with a couple of other number two seeds. Marquette, they get by Colorado in a second round battle. And I thought this was one of the more well-played entertaining games of the weekend. Marquette picks up an 81-77 second round win over Colorado. And this is one that came down to the wire. And I thought Tyler Kolek was outstanding in this game. He does not look like a guy coming off an injury. He does not look like a guy who was hurt. He had a super efficient 21-point effort in this game, going 10 of 14 from the field. He also added 11 assists, 5 rebounds, and he came up with big passes that led to buckets and creating big buckets of his own at huge times in this game. Tyler Kolek looks every bit of Tyler Kolek. It doesn't seem like a situation like it was last year against Michigan State, where he is hurt, he is not the same, and Marquette is not the same because of it. So they get by a Colorado team that I think is a very good Colorado team. That Colorado team was number 22 in the KenPom rankings, and I thought a team that was very good, had a very good season. They played in that first four game, they beat Boise. They played a thriller against Florida, a 102-100 game. And KJ Simpson is a star. Tristan Da Silva was very good for them as well. And Marquette was able to find a way to get by the Big East three teams in the Sweet 16. The last team in this category is going to be Iowa State, a 2 seed. Iowa State, in its first round game against South Dakota State, looked absolutely fantastic. They were doing everything that Iowa State does. They were causing havoc on the defensive end. They looked really good in that regard. They were making life uncomfortable. And if you don't know Milan Momcilovic yet, you should get to know him, because this is a guy, a freshman from Iowa State, that is so much fun to watch. You can't help but think about Dirk Nowitzki when you watch his game. You see him pull that fadeaway, and it's Dirk Nowitzki-esque. He comes up with big shots at all the time, and he's one of my favorite players to watch in the country. Now, in round two, they were tested a little bit by Washington State, a Washington State team that I've been really impressed by over the course of the season. I've been really impressed by over the course of the past couple weeks as well. You know, they had a chance to win the Pac-12. They couldn't quite do it, but a fantastic job by their head coach, Kyle Smith, this year with this program. And unfortunately for the Cougars, he now leaves to take the head job at Stanford. And it's just one of the many unfortunate side effects of what we're seeing with the dissolution of the Pac-12, and with Washington State and Oregon State just being left out in the wild. Washington State is now a WCC basketball program. So it just makes sense that Kyle Smith would go to Stanford, who is now going to be playing in the ACC. But in that game, I thought that Washington State really challenged Iowa State. This was a tied game at halftime. Washington State had the lead early in the game. They have a couple guys who I thought had a really good game. Jalen Wells was a guy on Washington State that I was very impressed by over the course of this season and really in this NCAA tournament. But like all the teams I've mentioned so far, of course, they found a way to get the win, buoyed by a really strong second half. Iowa State locked down. They held Washington State to just 56 points in the game, 29 points in the second half, and they got the victory. I'm still not quite sold. The thing with Iowa State I'm still not quite sold on, when I think about them winning a national championship, about getting to the Final Four, is, are they going to score enough? I think they have the talent there. I like Keyshawn Gilbert. I like Taman Lipsey. I love Momcilovic. But it's just, at times you wonder. In the first 10 minutes of that game, they put up 6 points, and that's the kind of thing they're going to have to avoid going forward. Like against Illinois, they can't do that. They cannot do that, because Illinois can straight up outscore them. So I think that's going to be one of the more interesting contrast in style games of the Sweet 16 is Illinois-Iowa State. And of course, we'll get to all of that and more later this week. Okay, my next category here, West Coast Uprising. Gonzaga, the 5 seed, gets to a Sweet 16. San Diego State, the 5 seed, the defending national runner-up. Is that a thing? I guess it is. Defending national championship game participant. They also get to the Sweet 16. And Gonzaga has one of the most unbelievable streaks in college basketball. Gonzaga has now appeared in 9 consecutive Sweet 16s. And this is a Gonzaga team that everybody was throwing dirt on about a month ago before they went to Rupp Arena and they beat Kentucky, a Kentucky team that is no longer playing in the NCAA tournament after losing to Oakland in the first round. Another embarrassing first round loss for the Kentucky Wildcats there, reminiscent of the St. Peter's loss a couple years ago. And I know that's a big topic and everybody's talking about it. But again, I want to focus on the teams moving on here. Gonzaga, before they went to Rupp Arena and got that win, it felt like everybody was throwing dirt on them. And lo and behold, here they are in the Sweet 16. They blow out McNeese. Everybody loved McNeese. They were one of the most popular upset picks because of Will Wade and his 30-3 record. But Gonzaga handled them, 86-65. And then they play Kansas, a Kansas team that I bet on in this game. Dumb, bad, terrible bet by me. I knew without Kevin McCullough, they're not the same team. That's why I picked Samford to upset them in the first round of my bracket. I thought, okay, they can get through this one game. They're good enough. Hunter Dickinson looks healthy enough. They can get through it. They did not. Gonzaga looked like the significantly better team in this one. And Nolan Hickman, a guy who's really played well over there in that game against Kansas, 17 points in that one, 3 of 4 from beyond the arc, also went 3 of 6 from beyond the arc against McNeese State. And Gonzaga just continues to be what I believe is the most consistent program in all of college basketball. No, they're not at the heights they were a few years ago, but they are still in their 9th straight Sweet 16. And it's something that you really have to appreciate and really have to marvel at. I think Gonzaga is the most consistent program in all of college basketball. And then San Diego State gets there as well. San Diego State continues their run from last year. They squeak by UAB in the first round, and then they put it on Yale in the second round, 85-57. That was the late night game last night. To be honest with you, I did not watch a ton of that game. I told you, I went to bed. I thought the Houston game was done. I said, San Diego State's blown them out. I don't need to watch this. San Diego State still doing it with defense. They held over the course of their first two games, they held their two opponents to just 38% from inside the three-point line. So in from two-pointers, their opponent shot 38%. Unbelievable. San Diego State always does it with defense. They're doing it again with defense. Jaden Ledee, one of the best players in the country, continues to be Jaden Ledee. And here they are, San Diego State, back again. Could you imagine if they went to back-to-back Final Fours? Would be quite an accomplishment. They'll have to get by the UConn Huskies first in the round of 16. Second-to-last category, almost done, ACC Uprising. Clemson, the 6th seed in the Sweet 16. NC State, the 11th seed. To me, a story of the tournament. They are also in the Sweet 16. These are the only two teams. Like, look, I know 5 seeds are technically not expected to be in the Sweet 16 by seed, but that 5-4 game is always a toss-up. So I don't really consider those 5 seeds to be, like, unexpected entrance into the Sweet 16. It's, to me, once you start to get to the 6 seeds, Clemson's a 6 seed, NC State an 11, really the only two by that, in that regard, unexpected Sweet 16 participants. They both come from the ACC. Clemson was a very popular pick to be upset by New Mexico in the first round, and then they take down Baylor in round two. To me, the story in this one was just the way Baylor shot horrifically from beyond the three-point line and the free throw line. But look, Baylor, an inconsistent team all year. However, I did not think the thing that was going to bring Baylor down was going to be their offense. I didn't think it was going to be a lack of shooting. That has been their strength all season long, and it didn't show up against Clemson. I thought it was going to be defense. And look, I mean, it wasn't like they had the best defensive game against Clemson, but when you go 6-24 from beyond the arc, when you miss 10 free throws, that is what you're going to look at and just kick yourself about. Baylor goes out, Clemson moves on, and Clemson, another one of these teams that has balance with Chase Hunter and Joe Girard at the guard spot, and then you have PJ Hall inside. Clemson has a lot of options, and they're playing very, very well right now. Clemson moves on. They will take on Arizona in the Sweet 16. And then NC State, the story of the tournament to me. They win five straight games to win the ACC tournament, get the auto bid. They wouldn't have been in if they hadn't done that. Then they go out, they beat Texas Tech in the first round, 80-67, and they play America's darling Oakland in the second round, the 14 seed that took down Kentucky. They get the six-point win in overtime. And what I got to say about NC State is, how can you not love DJ Burns? That is a huge man who is an unbelievable passer. I love great big men passers. DJ Burns is a guy listed at 6'9", 275 pounds, who was getting triple teamed by Oakland, and he can flat out pass the ball. He can also score the ball, too, and he did it a bunch against Oakland to the tune of 24 points. He adds four assists in this one, and NC State right now is just feeling like a team of destiny on this unbelievable seven-game run. They squeak by Oakland in that one. It felt like they were just doing everything to give the game away, but they're able to find a way to get the win, and they will take on Marquette, the team I believe they beat for the 1974 National Championship in the Sweet 16. And they did, yeah, that was the Norm Sloan NC State team beat Al McGuire's Marquette in the 1974 National Championship. And then I want to end here with Alabama. They're a category by themselves. I do not know what to do with this Alabama team, because this is an Alabama team that I was pretty low on coming into the tournament. They, in the first round, they played a classic Alabama game, 109-96 over Charleston. That's Alabama for you. They'll put up 109, they'll give up in the mid-90s, maybe they'll give up more, and it won't be enough, but they played the Alabama game, and they got the win against Charleston. Honestly, it wasn't even as close as that score seemed. They felt like they were in control of that game. It was a great offensive performance. They went 13-23 from beyond the arc. They got to the free throw line almost 40 times. They missed a bunch of free throws, but they still got there 37 times. They had a bunch of guys score a bunch of points, notably Mark Sears, who was really the only guy in competition with Dalton Knecht for SEC Player of the Year. He puts up 30 points in this game. And then in the second round against Grand Canyon, he put up 26 points. And that Grand Canyon game is why I just don't know what to do with Alabama. That was a bizarre game. Grand Canyon, I mean, if you heard Charles Barkley's comments after that game, I don't have much more to add to it. Grand Canyon played a bizarre game. They went 2-20 from beyond the arc. They only had five assists in the game, and it was still a ball game, you know, deep into it. Alabama gets the 72-61 win. Again, Mark Sears plays very well in that game. He scores 26 points. He has a great stat line, 26 points, six assists, and 12 rebounds in that one. But it just didn't feel like a super crisp game necessarily, especially from the Grand Canyon side. And that's why it makes it a little bit hard to tell, you know, what to expect from Alabama as this tournament progresses. The thing to me with Alabama is what we saw against Charleston in the first round. It's like they're going to give up 96 points. They might score 109, but they're going to give up those 96. But what if they don't score 109? What if the shots aren't falling? We saw them miss 13 free throws in that game. What if they don't go 56.5% from beyond the arc? It just seems like a recipe for disaster when you're not going to play defense at the level that you need to. I didn't feel like Grand Canyon's offensive performance was because of Alabama necessarily, if I'm being honest. I felt like it was Grand Canyon had a weird game. They had a weird game plan. They executed it in a strange manner, and they just didn't look crisp. I don't know how much of that was because of Alabama. So Alabama, I'm just going to put in a class of themselves. Maybe I'll just call it the, you might score 110, you might give up 110. It's going to be an interesting game when they get together with North Carolina in the Sweet 16. We have so many great games to look forward to next weekend, and I will be back later this week to break them all down, tell you what I'm seeing, what I'm looking forward to, and how I'm betting them. I hope you enjoyed all the games this weekend, everybody, and you're looking forward to next week. Until next time, keep the grill hot and the cooler cold.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.